Good morning. How's everybody doing? We sang the song, I'm Believing the Best is Yet to Come. And that's what I want to talk a bit today about belief, which is different than faith. It's two different words in the Greek because it's two different meanings. You know, we talk about belief as a head knowledge, but it's not. But before I get started on that, I would like to say something about what we're in, the revival, and talk to the people that are more mature. And I thought about everybody. Of all the people, the senior people, the people that are mature, the people who really think the best was in the past. And I heard something from Chris Voliton, who's a pastor at Bethel Church. It's an amazing church. It's good to hear other revival speakers speak about revival. If you're interested in this subject, you're going to hear them, right? And he says people would come to our church, and they would say, revival is coming to the youth. And Chris says after the first couple of times, and he goes, major prophets, he didn't mention them. And he goes, I'd go home and weep. Revival is coming to the youth. And he goes, I'd go home and weep. Finally, I said, God, what is this? And he says, Chris, where I am silent, I will allow you to speak. But where I have stated, I will not let you contradict my word. And he showed him the scriptures. He says, all flesh. Now, that doesn't mean we're not having youth, but that means everybody will be a part. We talk about the youth, and we talk about the seniors. I believe there will be people that had a plan to get a motorhome and travel the country, and they will park themselves here because of the revival. When the young people come, you know, young people are like a balloon. If you let go of the balloon, they have the energy. And the old people are like pointing. They're not really want to go and do stuff, but they'll do some of it, but they'll want to point. You need both. You need momentum and direction. Because young people have a lot of zeal, but they have no direction. The average person changes their major in college 5 times. Why? Because it's no direction. They had a plan, but they really don't know what they mean. There's going to be young people that just need you to put an arm around them. Some of you dads that didn't really have a loving father, God wants to give you love for them and say, son, you can do it. It's not about you just sitting in the back. So yes, young people are coming, but it will not just be a revival for young people. I will pour out my spirit in the last days on what? All flesh. Amen. Belief and faith are two different things. And a lot of people will talk about how in James, he says, you believe in one God. And he says the demons shudder. So people think, okay, belief is a level one and faith is a greater level. But actually, James was just saying, you just believe in one God. He didn't say, you believe in the one true living God. And he goes, that's not enough. He says, you believe in one God. It's like someone saying, I believe in God. Well, that's a good start, but you can't end there. Over 200, I'm going to say 20 times in the New Testament is the word believe. Especially in the book of John, Jesus said believe many, 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 many times. If belief is just a head knowledge, Jesus would have never said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Because I want you to change the word belief to trust. It doesn't say, if you can have a head knowledge, all things are possible to him who just believes in their head. If you can trust, all things are possible to him who trusts. Whatever things you ask when you pray, trust that you receive them and you will have them. If it was just a head knowledge, he would have never said, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life. And who does not believe the Son shall not see life. Or when the scriptures say, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe, to those who trust in his name. So I want to differentiate belief from trust. Why? Because disbelief is different from doubt. And I want to get specific. I believe God wants to get specific today. I've never heard this message preached. It doesn't mean it wasn't preached. I've never heard this message talked. It doesn't mean it's talked. It just means I've never heard it. I believe it's for us today. God wants us to trust him. It means we can put our full weight. I can put all of me on this platform because I trust it. It's not like I don't even think about it. It's just second nature. I trust it. That's where God wants to get to us. He's brought a revival, and it's going to increase, so we can trust him with it. We don't have to be freaked out. It's going to get weird. No, we can trust him with it. So why is it important to know the difference between disbelief and doubt? Doubt is wavering. When Peter was in the boat, faith got him out of the boat. And then when he saw the waves in the sea, he started to doubt and he started to sink. And Jesus said, why did you doubt? He didn't say, why did you disbelieve? Why did you doubt? Doubt is wavering. Disbelief never gets out of the boat. So there's a difference. John, why you got to get specific? Because the antidote is different. The antidote for doubt is different than disbelief, because everywhere you disbelieve God, that's an area where you do not trust him. So he wants to hit our trust today, every area. Now, I'm not talking about, some people have it's easy for them to believe Jesus died for the whole world. God has a plan for the whole world. Oh, I can receive that. But when he says, I have a plan for your life, then it gets a little shaky, gets it specific. God, I don't trust you in this. Satan, when he came at the Garden of Eden, the first thing he did was sow distrust. How did he do that? God knows The day you eat it, you'll be like him. What's he saying? God's holding you back from something good. Good for you. It was distrust. He doesn't use the word, even dis, like a snake, distrust. See, different snakes have different antivenoms. So the antivenom for today is not doubt. That's why people that don't trust God, when they read the scripture and they quote scripture, that's why it does nothing for their disbelief. Why? Because it's not just about knowing scripture, it's about knowing him. Jesus said, this is eternal life. He's talking to the Father, that they may know you, the one true God, and Jesus whom you sent. Do you know you're in eternal life right now if you know God? The difference is you go from the body to the spirit. That's the only thing. You're in eternal life now. Eternal life is knowing him. So when you read the scriptures, if you're in an area of distrust, you say, God, I want to know you. See, the Holy Spirit wants to go and apply the antidote. He wants to apply the antivenom because every bite the enemy has, he's mentioned a serpent in Genesis, and he says the old serpent in Revelation. Every bite that the enemy has, God has the antidote for. Depression, he has the antidote. Discouragement, he has the antidote. Hopelessness, he has the antidote. Addiction, he has the antidote. There's nothing where he does not have the antidote. The difference is we need to know how to apply it. So I'm not talking about wavering. You know, you do something and then you doubt and you're wavering. This is very different. Distrust is you don't even move. God, I don't trust you in this area. Now, we don't talk like that. Some of us took a mission trip one time. We were going to go to a remote area, Jeanine Partridge, who you guys heard prophesied today, and she helps with the church. And so we were planning the trip and all the lists, and I said, okay. I go, everybody's going to have an antivenom around their neck, Jeanine. She's all, what? I'm like, there's these poisonous snakes down there, and as soon as they bite you, you're instantly paralyzed. The person next to you has to use their antivenom. I go, so I carry yours, you carry mine. I go, you can't even use the bathroom by yourself. I says, like, it instantly paralyzes you, and so then I just push it in you, and it injects you. And then I go, after a couple of minutes, you warm up, you start moving around. And then here, in true Jeanine fashion, because she's called to be a paymaster, I go, but the church pays for it. And she goes, well, that's good. At least the church pays for it. Then I told her the truth, and she laughed. But what? So if you're here today and you have an area of distrust, the Holy Spirit has the antivenom, and that's Jesus. He wants to come and apply it. So I'm not talking about doubt. I want to be very clear about that. It's distrust. Amen? Over 200 and some times, the word believe, 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 believe. It's not a hedge knowledge. It's trust. And God, if there's one thing from Genesis to Revelation, you can trust him. People read the book of Revelation, and they get sidewhacked on the Antichrist, this, that, the other. If there's one message of the book of Revelation, God is in control. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ. And that's so God is in control, and he's in control of your life. Amen? And so there's areas. So if you're here today and you're in strife and relationships, he has the antivenom. He is the antivenom. He will apply the antidote. Amen? If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Now, Satan is a master, or the enemy, if you want to call it, of the world, is a master at the visual. But if you look, because we believe 80% of our eyes, 20% of what we hear, they have statistics on that. I'm not going to get all statistics, but what you see is you believe. People say that. But if you look at everything in the Bible, every miracle they had, it was always against the eyes. I'll just say it that way. What do you mean? It was against, God speaks, and what they see, it's against what they see. So it's not about just what you see. And I'll give you an example of that. Sabata Pereira, he's on the ministry team, and Chris Garza is on the worship team, and we used to be roommates. So we had a party. We had a party, and no, there was no alcohol and stuff, and Sabata hollered all his friends that were Indian friends, and it was fun. You know, we just play. So they broke us up in two teams, guys and girls. All right, you got to put this orange underneath your neck, and you can't use your arms, and they're like this. And so the girls are like flying back and forth, and the guys are like awkward. No one wants to touch each other, you know, and then we dropped it halfway, and I noticed they're not watching us. They're going, pee, me, me, me. They were like two or three people away from winning. Pastor Allen was there, Dalip. So I just go, let's just act like we won. We started going, woo, woo, woo. We started celebrating. If you said you won $5 million, Dalip was bouncing. Lena's face is horrified. You know what? We never said we won. You know what they did? They stopped. They stopped, and they just thought we won. You know what we never said we won? We just acted like we won. Do you know that's what Satan does in every area of your life? He's a show. He acts like he's won. He makes the noise. He makes the visual. Visually, it looked like we won. The sound is like we won. Let me tell you, in the area that you think you're defeated in, it may look like, it may sound like, but you just need the antidote of the Holy Spirit. We fool them all. And I'll never forget the girl with the orange. She just hung her head down, went like this. That's what Christians do. We stop running the race because the devil says it's over. Friend, it's never over. It's never over till you face him, and then we enter eternity. So the Holy Spirit wants to come today and get specific. It was just all show, all show, all show. We didn't win. They were going to win, but they stopped. What's your point, John? Don't stop running the race. They were two people away from winning, but they heard the noise, and they saw the sound, and we never said, Satan never said, distrust God. He just said, he knows the seed of distrust. Distrust. All show. Delete. So I had his friend, he jumped so high. I had my hand on his shoulder. He was like, ding, ding. We're like, woo. Remember that day? Sabata does. And he has a picture of Delete jumping. I was like, man, just act like we won. We never said we won. They just stopped. Don't stop. So if believe is trust, what's unbelief? Distrust. If there's one message the Heavenly Father speaks, so you have two fathers. We don't have two fathers, but there are. There's the father of lies, Satan. All lies come from here. And there's the Heavenly Father, the Father of truth. And one father is trying to get you to distrust the other father. And so people are in relationships God never called them to be, and then they come out of that, and then they blame God for all those things. So he wants to put blame on God. So you distrust. You never trust somebody you really don't fully know. And you distrust. And so God wants you to say, you can fully know me, and you can trust me. He gets blamed for stuff that was never his idea. He never put you in that relationship. And even when he does put, they don't follow his principles, and then they blame him when it doesn't work out. He said to forgive. They don't forgive. They have unforgiveness, and so it causes a wedge because he wants to bring a wedge between you and God. Okay, so he doesn't want people going to heaven. Then the people that are going to heaven, he doesn't want them to fulfill their destiny. So we have an enemy. But unbelief is mentioned very few times in the Bible compared to belief. So we want to focus on believing today, trusting, not just distrust, because the Holy Spirit wants to come in and say, I want you to think about, you're here today because God loves you. You're saved today because God loves you, and he has a plan for your life. And he brought you to this place, and not just to this church, but he brought you to the place in him because he loves you. And all the areas that he wants, so people get a word, we get a prophecy, we get a thing, and then it's against our eyes, opposite, because the millionaire doesn't need a word. He's going to be a millionaire. It's the person that can't even pay rent. That's when they get the word, but it's against their eyes. When the bill comes, it's against their eyes. But what situation in the Bible wasn't against their eyes? Doesn't matter if it's a lion's den, the flood. Everything was against their eyes. The thing, 80% of what we believe is what we see. As Christians, we cannot do that. We need to use our spiritual eyes and our spiritual ears. Because if you just use what you see, you will never fulfill the purpose of God. Reinhard Bonnke, go to Africa. I see a blood-washed Africa. One man, one corner, one song, one convert, millions of people. Why? Abram, get up from the place you're at. One man, one promise, one man. Then it became a one nation. It just starts with one. What's the one? The one area you don't trust God in, you can bring it to him and say, God, I trust you. What do? You ask the Holy Spirit for help. You say, it's not just about knowing scriptures. God, I want to know you. When I read your word, I want to know you. That's just like, I need a healing. I quote a healing scripture. No, when you get to know him, you go, oh, you want to be my healer. It totally changes what you believe on. Far too long, Christians have tried to stand on his promises. We need to stand on the goodness of God, the mercy of God, who he is, not just what he says. He heals because he loves you. He gave a word to you because he loves you. It's not just so he can gather more people. It's so he can gather more sons and daughters to all who believe. See, we try to stand on his promises, and then we don't trust him. And we wonder why it's so difficult. Friends, that's why it's important to read his word. That's great. There's people that can quote way more scripture than me. They just don't know him. They know where they can find it. Big deal. It's like knowing someone famous. You can know way more details, but his spouse knows him. His children know him. So do we know him in the area that we have distrust? I'm not talking about doubt. I'm not talking about where you waver. Because you read the stories and read the scriptures, but all the things were against their eyes, everything he promised. Couldn't have a baby. He says, look up to the stars. There's his wife, no baby. There's the sky, stars, count them. That's a huge gap, friends. We just read the stories. We don't put yourself in the position. Jesus died. 3 days later, he rose again. If you were a disciple, there's no 3 days, it's over. There was no book they could read.
Oh, in 3 days, Jesus is going to rise. It's over. They were hiding. It is over. Everything we poured ourselves into, it's over. And some of you people think everything I poured myself into, it's over. It's over. There's no 3 days because there was no word. They were reading the Bible. It's over. It's over. It's over. 3 days later, he rose up, and then we read it, and then we act like it's just stories. Friends, they were there. Daniel prayed. Nobody told Daniel, prayed 21 days. Nobody told Daniel that. Don't stop on the 21st day. See, when we're in the situation, you don't know what day you're in, what day. It's been marked out. What if he would have quit day 20? We read the Bible like they know. They didn't know. They were in it. Look at the stars. Abraham didn't know there would be a nation called Israel. He didn't know every nation would be blessed because of him. He didn't know he was in it, but he knew God. And when you know God, you can grab his hand and you can trust him to take that next step. See, distrust is a killer. And he wants to wedge. God knows in the day you eat of it. And the Bible says it was good to her eyes what she saw. It was good to eat, to her eyes. So what are you looking at today in that area you don't think God can move? He says, trust me with it. We can trust him with our pain. We can trust him with our future. We can trust him with our failures. We can trust him with the revival. God, we'll get out of control. We'll do this. God, if you're bringing it, you run it. Pastors Easy and Lena and Pastor Allen, they said, God, that's what they said. God says this. It's not about what they want. It's what God's saying. They don't want every worship thing. Okay, we're going to have worship go long today. We're going to float. No, it's what God wants. We're going to cast out five demons today. No more. Because we have a women's meeting announcement. But think of all the people in the Word of God. Because we talk about stories. They were accounts. They're not just children's stories. You can put them in a little children's Bible, friends. But that's not where they're contained. And you can make nice little pictures of Noah. And he's the only one in the family God you're going to start over. But they were in it. And we read the end. See, the Bible says he is the author and finisher of your faith. What does an author do? He writes. So he's still writing. You just haven't read the end yet. See, when you read about Moses, you can read the end where they split the Red Sea. It was against his eyes. There's the Red Sea. Here's the army. We read it. Oh, God split it. Next chapter. No, put yourself in Moses' position. There's the Red Sea. There's the army. But he hears God. He hears the horses, but he hears God. See, we need to hear him. Because some of you hear the criticism, the doubts, the can't, the won't. Mom never had money. Dad never had money. They were divorced 3 times. But he heard God. Put forth your staff. We need to hear what God's saying. Put forth what's in your hand. And what do you do? And it split. And then the wind blew all night, and then it sucked up the army. We just read the story and read little plays and cute plays. They were in it. 3 days. It's over. They were in it. The lion's den. He was in it. Joseph and the prisoner had a dream a couple years back, forgotten, and God brought him out. Friends, let me tell you something. God will never forget you. And you may be in a situation where you think you're forgotten, but you are not forgotten. So Joseph gets up just like any other day, and everything changed in a moment. People say everything changes in a day. Everything can change in a moment. Joseph, you're needed. And he never went back there again. So Potiphar put him in the prison. Pharaoh took him out. Potiphar is under Pharaoh. The man that put him in, the position of the man that put him in, now he's over. Now, it's a different office took him out. So now he's over what put him in. That's where God wants to put you. He wants to put you over what put you in. See, we just read the story. We don't even know. That's the reason why it's written in the Greek. The Greek is so specific. There's words for sons. Technon, you're a full-grown son ready to take over the father's business. Little son, we have words in English. No, believe is very specific. It's trust. Disbelieve is specific. It's mistrust. So the man that put him in, now Joseph is over in a moment. Oh, I remember there's a guy that can interpret dreams. Everything you sow in God, he has in his hand, and he can make it rain. And what brings the rain? The dust. When the dust goes up, the water molecule surrounds the dust, and the cloud can't hold it no more, it rains. And every dry area in your life can bring the rain if you let him go up. So what we want to do is we want to hold the dust down. We want to talk about the dust. We want to talk about the barren years, all the things that didn't work out, all the times I was in a church and the pastor hurt me, all the times that the people hurt me, all the times I gave and I didn't get nothing back, all the times I had a relationship, the first divorce of this. When you let that dust rise up to him, the cloud can no longer hold it. That's where we get rain, friends, from dust. All the brokenness, people come in, all the things, people need to be set free, all these things. So are we. So you can fully trust him with every area. And let me tell you something about God. Because he gives you a word doesn't mean he doesn't have enough for me. He's unlimited. His resources are unlimited. He's that good. He can give a word, a good word, a good word, a good word because he's God, because he's unlimited. His resources are never ending. His love never fails. He's trustworthy. And so when we read his word and we get to know him, not just stories, put yourself in that position. And then it was against their eyes when you begin to read that word. Okay, God, now I can know you. Now when I hear the healing scriptures, now when I quote a healing scripture, it's not just about getting the words right. It's knowing there's a God behind me that's ready to act on that word. Totally different. See, when he first sent me to Juarez, Mexico, he didn't say how it's all going to work out. One got out of the boat. The rest sat. Faith will move, then doubt wavers, but disbelief will keep you in that boat. Saw Jesus. Saw even Peter walking. What were they waiting for him to do, sink? Let's see if Peter makes it. If Peter makes it, I'll get out. And if you're waiting for other people to path the way, friends, God's coming to you and saying, what if you're the only one in the boat? And today, you're the only one in the boat. Jesus says, come to me. See, you want someone else to pave the way. You want someone else to go. And if people follow Reinhard Bunke, that's easier than the man. Elijah and Elijah. They say, oh, he did the double. But Jesus didn't say the Spirit. He said the one that pioneered is coming in the last days. It's not the one that did the double. What is he saying, John? The one that's first started the faith. It's the first. God wants a lot of first. No one else went to that nation in my family. He wants you to be the first. No one else gave that much. He wants you to be the first. No one else has had that. We want you to be the first. And so it's disbelief. So what area in your life today are you not fully trusting God? We need the Holy Spirit to show us that area, and we need him to come and bring the antidote. Just like I told Janine, it's around my neck. Don't worry, but don't go to the bathroom alone. Well, at least the church pays for it. Yes, Janine, at least the church pays for it. No questions about how big these snakes are, but instantly paralyzed. I'll never forget that. So that's what the devil does. He celebrates before the game's even over. Visual and noise. In the area of your business, visual and noise. The fruit was good to her eyes. She heard his noise, but she forgot what God said. Because God will not always, he'll give you a word sometimes, and then he'll let you get in conversations. Are you going to trust me to what I said back then? See, here's the deal with God. You may get a word 6 or 7 times. That's for your sake. It's just as true the first time it is the 7th time. God says, let there be light. He doesn't need to say, let there be light 2nd or 3rd times. He does that with us because we have a will. Things that don't have a will, he can just push in shape. How I wish we were like the Adams. He would just speak. You don't need another word if it's God. You need another word to get confirmation. And I'm not talking about areas where you go, is this really good, you God? I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about where you know it's God and you still don't trust him. Because there's grace. Like, I don't know if it's you, you know. They don't give you confirmation in words. But friends, it's no truer the 2nd time. It was just true the 1st time because whatever he speaks is true. His words are life and they're truth. And they come to you and they speak to you. And so it was visual and noise. And they just stopped playing the game. They stopped competing. Paul, at the end of his life, what did he say? He said, Timothy, I finished my course. I ran my race. Now run yours, son. So we need to encourage one another to finish the course. Amen. So, Lord, I just thank you. Just close your eyes, Lord. I just thank you for today, for every area of distrust, every area of that we don't fully trust you, God. We want to bring it to you. We want to bring it to the altar and lay it down. We trust you with our finances. We trust you with the revival, God. We trust you with our relationships. Every person that's in prophesied marriage, every marriage we say we can be bigger. Every strife in a relationship, God, we can bring it to you, Holy Spirit, because you have the antidote. And the antidote is labeled, and it has a name, Jesus. Jesus, I thank you for being here today and touching your people. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you've sent. So, Lord, I thank you. We are eternal life because we know you. And today we trust you at another level, God. Every area where we've let the visual and the sounds bring distrust in our lives, it was just all show. We won. We didn't even say we won. We just started hooping and hollering. Woo, jumping up and down. It was show. Because they weren't paying attention. And I noticed they weren't paying attention. I said, let's just act like we won. But the Bible says we're not ignorant of his devices. So every wedge coming between every relationship here and between you, Father, I thank you for taking it out. The wedge of distrust. God knows in the day you eat this beautiful fruit that looks so good, listen to my voice, look at the fruit and hear my voice, said the enemy. He will give you, he's holding back from you. So Lord, I thank you every area of barrenness in our lives, every area we don't think we can trust you, we make that decision today in the name of Jesus to trust you. To all who trusted him, he gave them the power to become the children of God. All who trust in his name. Faith many times in the Bible is used as a noun. The faith of the church, the faith of some, but believe is used as a verb. So Lord, I thank you for the action of believe. Trust. It's an action. Trust. I'm not talking about wavering. I'm not talking about the areas where you've wavered or you've had concerns or you still want to do. I'm talking about the areas where you just don't trust him. Many people, I'm not talking about anybody here. I don't know anybody's tithe records, but the church has a low percentage of tithers. It's because of trust. They don't trust him with their finances. They trust Wells Fargo and Chase more than God. They trust their investments in the stock market more than God. They just don't trust him. That's why they can hear tithe message after tithe message coming. They don't give because they don't trust him. Tithe scripture after tithe scriptures, but they don't give because they don't trust him. It's a trust issue. And God wants to go one father of lies, one father of truths. Every lie comes from him. Every partial truth is a lie, and he brings it in your life and says, you cannot trust him in this area. Yes, with your salvation. Yes, you're going to heaven, but you cannot trust him in this. He's untrustworthy. But the Bible says, believe, trust, trust him. One of the definitions for unbelief is unfaithfulness. We're not faithful. Two different words, faith and belief. Because there's two different antidotes to doubt and distrust. It's trust. So, Lord, I thank you today for the spirit of trust to come in and says, I trust you. Every place that it was barren, bad mistakes, things that you've done that you blame God, I just say, lay it down today in the name of Jesus. Don't carry it out. Every area in your life where you did what you want and it didn't work out and yet you blame God, I say, I break that in Jesus' name. It's not his fault. It's not his fault. It's not God's fault. He was there. He was there. You didn't follow his principles. You didn't. Every bad thing can be traced back to Satan, not God. So you just lay it down. Lay it down. It's not his fault. Why? Every why we bury God, we look to the who. Everything that's against our eyes, God, like every person of faith in Hebrews had to face it. It was against their eyes. What you said and what they saw were two different things. There's a Red Sea. There's an army. But you said to bring your people out. So surely it's not just to stop here. You didn't say bring your people out to a wall of water where we die. And they saw Jesus on the cross die. And they saw him in the tomb and the stone was rolled. And then they went back to what they were doing before except in fear. And they were afraid. Dan, if you could just pull up that scripture, please. And there's one scripture I want us to look at. When the man had a sick daughter, he said, Jesus, come heal her. But then as he was going, they said, don't bother the master anymore. She's dead. And as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be afraid, only trust. Do not be afraid, only believe. So today, God, we're just putting that down in every area of barrenness, brokenness, hurt. We're saying only trust. He didn't say do 7 things or 10 things or 30 things, only trust. So Lord, we trust you today with everything. We trust you with the revival. We trust you with our finances. We trust you with our relationships. We trust you with our future, God. We trust you with our past to heal every hurt. We trust you, Jesus. Jesus, you're trustworthy. Every lie that says you're not trustworthy, we don't listen to, God. The noise and the volume that says it's over, we trust you, God. We're still going to play because the father of lies just acted like it's over. The father of lies, Lord, we trust you, Jesus. do not be afraid, only believe. Only believe.